The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
XM Channel 80 and on your smart speaker, are the Nets trying to steal a championship? Looks like the NFL is going to a 17-game season. We got Mike Tannenbaum coming on in 10 minutes. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And all I can tell you, give you some straight talk, is I got a lot to get into. First of all, what's going on with the Nets, what's going on in LA basketball, what's going on in the NFL draft. But all I can tell you is I find it very interesting. You tell me if you find this interesting. I'm just going to give you some facts. You connect the dots. You can make any inference you want, but I'll just tell you some facts. It is Monday today. On Friday, I wore a Bandolin t-shirt, and I showed it to everybody on ESPN+. And I had the fan he had booted out of the Garden on the show. And I said, see, Dolan, you can't boot me out of the Garden. I'm not in the Garden. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? And all I know is in within hours, I was taken off of the air in New York on the FM station. Just like that. Like this. I'm snapping. Like this. Like this. Those are the facts. Taken off the air. Matter of fact, we had just, what was it, the day before or 2 days before, had a strategy to make the show more New York oriented. I don't know, a day before. And I said, I wore a Bandolin t-shirt. And now, this is what happens. Had 1 hour on the FM signal in New York. Gone, just like this. I'm snapping into the microphone, just like this. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want you to listen to what Stephen A. Smith, on First Take, said about the Nets trying to steal a championship.
So what's next? I mean, what, we going to get the ball boy next? I mean, this is almost like buying a championship, for crying out loud. What about competition? We just going to get everybody now? Everybody? But if we just going to stockpile and get everybody and everybody running to Brooklyn to try to steal a championship, I mean, come on.
Look, LaMarcus Aldridge is a nice post-deadline pickup, but he ain't LaMarcus Aldridge anymore. And by the way, if he could shoot from the outside, you know, a skill that serves you well as you age, same thing with DeMar DeRozan. The Spurs would have been better off with both of them. What stopped both DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge from being championship caliber players is they're good, deep, like mid-range shooters. They're not three-point shooters. So I don't know that, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin joining the Nets, that it doesn't make the Nets look bad. These are the remains of LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. This isn't real. This is just the names, the name brands. Let's talk about Steve Nash on the Lakers, the year he came to the Lakers. That wasn't Steve Nash. Those were the remains of Steve Nash. These are the remains of Blake Griffin, the remains of LaMarcus Aldridge. They're nice bodies to have on the team. Especially since they were buyouts, like, you know, post-trade deadline. But these are not, this is not really LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. This doesn't make the Nets look bad. If anything, it makes those players look like they weren't quite good enough to be part of the nucleus of championship teams. And so they glommed on to something after the fact when they were on the downside of their careers, which is a fair thing to say. Now, do I have a problem with super teams? The answer is no, I don't. But I have a problem with super-duper teams. The Warriors became a... Like, LeBron made a super team in Miami. But there are other super teams that have existed, but GMs put them together. So if it's okay for a general manager to put a super team together, players can do it too. But a super-duper team is something else. What's a super-duper team? There's already a team there that is a powerhouse. And some superstar, an MVP caliber player that's never won a championship, joins that team in order to win a championship. That's different to me. What KD did in Golden State, different than what he's doing with the Nets. What he did in the Bay Area with the Warriors, different than the Nets. KD joined. He couldn't get over the hump, even on stacked teams with Westbrook and Ibaka and then Adams later. They had very, very good teams. got to a game seven at Oracle, couldn't get over the hump against that Warriors team. And that Warriors team couldn't get over the hump against LeBron. So they joined forces. That's weak. I mean, that's anti-competitive. That's a super-duper team. The Warriors already had a super team. Steph and Clay and Trey and Iggy. You take Harrison Barnes off that team, which won 73 games and got to a game seven of the finals. A one or a two possession game at the end of that game. You take Harrison Barnes off and add an MVP caliber player? Yeah, of course, that's a super duper team. That's a problem. That's not what these Nets are. KD didn't go to a team that's already ready to win and added himself. He went to a well-run organization and said, I want to come here with one other star player. And he did. And Kyrie is something less than an MVP caliber player, certainly at that point. And then they added James Harden. I get it, but there was no guarantee that would work. Well, if you have a certain amount of talent, usually yes, but James Harden and Kyrie in the same backcourt, there's only one ball. They deserve enormous credit for figuring that out that fast. Brian Windhorst, ESPN insider on game night, about the addition of LaMarcus Aldridge to the Nets.
I'm not really excited about the LaMarcus Aldridge addition. I know that a lot of people were hyperventilating about the idea of them adding another big name player. You know, he may help them in a playoff game or two because he has the ability to have breakout games. And if he does help them in a playoff game or two, then he will have delivered. I really like what they've been getting out of their second year center, Nick Claxton, who is this really athletic, rangy big man who can switch out and defend on people. He can he can put the ball in the basket a little bit. He had been playing great, and if they reduce his playing time to force LaMarcus Aldridge out there, I don't know if that's what they need. I think their victory on LaMarcus Aldridge is that they kept him away from their competition. They kept him away from Miami. They kept him away from the Lakers or the Clippers or the Celtics. In that regard, it's a victory. I don't think it really materially changes their chances to win the whole thing.
I slightly disagree with that. This is what I would say about LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge is a big body who can play basketball. Not at the highest levels anymore, but he can still play. And he's big. And that's what the Nets needed. The Nets needed some size with guys who knew how to play. And they have that now in Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge and DeAndre Jordan. None of those guys are any good anymore, really. Like, those aren't starting caliber players. But they're big bodies who have been around, they're experienced, and they know how to play. Size and knowledge, right? Okay. I agree with them about Nick Claxton. The best big they probably have right now is Claxton, who's a second-year player and who's ascending. But now, in the absence, like, you know, you had to trade away a lot of what you had in order to bring in James Harden. And in the absence of a big, you have, joining Nick Claxton and DeAndre Jordan, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, it works. It's good for you. That's good for the Nets. And I wouldn't worry too much about, well, it takes away from Claxton's playing time. That doesn't much matter. LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, Nick Claxton, DeAndre Jordan, to one extent or another, are all around the same level in the sense that they range from high-end rotation piece, but not really quite starter on a championship team, almost no matter who else is starting, to lower-end rotation piece. But they're all legitimate rotation pieces. I mean, if Blake is motivated and a little bit physically healthier than he's been. And they all have size. That's the main thing. And that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. Even though not on in New York now on the FM, I still may wear a Band Dolan shirt. You know what's interesting? I could criticize the Lakers. I was in L.A. on Afternoon Drive in L.A. with Max and Marcellus on 710 ESPN. Say whatever I want about the Lakers. Be highly critical of the Lakers, their front office, ownership, everything. Never a problem. Never one problem. But the Knicks, it's unreal. Come out of a meeting where it's like, hey, let's strategize for New York because it's a national show, but, you know, we're on in New York. A day later, I wear a Band Dolan shirt, damned to do something, and like this, off the air. Boy, that's some juice. But it also, I mean, you can make your own inferences. Never had to worry about that with the Lakers. Probably not a coincidence that the Lakers have won in my lifetime. 11 championships. 11 just even since 79-80. We have Mike Tannenbaum coming up, ESPN NFL front office insider, who's going to join me on the Goodyear Hotline. A lot of stuff happening in the NFL. It's almost as though the NFL said, NBA, you're not taking the headlines. You're not bumping off us off the back or front pages. 17-game season in the NFL coming up. Huge NFL draft trades. 49ers reportedly aren't attending Justin Fields' pro day. A lot of stuff to get into. Mike, are you there?
Max, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir. Let's start right off the very top. I think the big news at this moment is the 17 games coming up in the NFL schedule. Mike, to my mind, of course, the owners are always going to want more games because it means more revenue. And if the players get worn out, whatever, there'll be other players. Like even scab players in the early mid-80s were doing okay. Like, you know, the ratings went down, but it wasn't like cratering. People like football, and it's hard to tell, you know, the very, very best from the next level down to the naked eye, unless you're a Mike Tannenbaum or someone with a trained eye. So the owners are very incentivized to constantly expand the schedule so they can make more money. And Mike, what's crazy to me is the argument they make to the players, well, if you want more money, play more games. Well, I don't know. What about taking away the salary cap? Like, how about that? How about the players get a bigger percentage of the money? What is to stop the owners ever from asking for 18 games, 19 games, 25 games? Mike Tannenbaum.
Great points, Max. I mean, you know, it's funny, I taught a class at Columbia in the fall, the business of the NFL, and had a couple of guest speakers, Jeff Pasch from the league and somebody from the Players Association who was in the room as well. It was fascinating to go back and forth and hear both sides. I got to tell you, both sides have a ton of respect for one another. I think they're both sort of like have come to this sort of agreement of like philosophically we have to be more of partners and grow the pie. And sure, if there's no salary cap, could the players get more? But, you know, there's also 25 years of empirical data that says salary cap overall is great for sports because it keeps competitive balance. And look, that's a story for another day. I would say this. I think 17 games is about as far as you can go. And it's certainly more football, more risk of injury. But if you take it from a preseason game, not that veterans were playing a lot anyway, I do think there is more of a chance of injury, but I don't think marginally we're talking about that much more because you're taking it from a preseason game. So overall, it's more exposure for a player, but I don't think it's a consequential amount more.
I wouldn't mind. I agree about the preseason. I hate the preseason anyway. You know, just as a fan, it's like, please just get out of this preseason without anyone injured. I think maybe, Mike, what they could do, I mean, keep expanding, whatever, but limit the number of games a player is allowed to play, and that becomes part of the strategy for the coach. You know, you can only play 16 games, but there's a 20-game schedule. I mean, really, expand the rosters, give more people high-paying jobs, right? And I suppose you can do that. I do take exception. The empirical data with the salary cap is not that it's good for the league. All a salary cap ever is 100% of the time that it's ever existed is really not about competitive balance. It's about transferring wealth from labor to small market owners because you could do things with a luxury tax and all kinds of stuff that does the same sort of thing, or owners could just share more of the money amongst themselves and make it perfectly fair, and that would address the marketplace. But instead, they take it from the players. But I mean, listen, that's the world we're living in. They have a de facto monopoly on professional football in North America. Collective bargaining is very difficult for the players. This is the world we now have. What effect do you think a 17 games, like, does it have any effect on your analysis of this upcoming season? Are you looking more at quarterback depth now or at depth at other positions?
I think two teams are hurt by this, the LA Rams and the New Orleans Saints. Two teams, when you look and really study it carefully, Max, more of the money is going to their top five players than to most. And again, I'd love to have Jalen Ramsey on my team or Aaron Donald, but when you look at the Rams, you have those two players. You have Matt Stafford, who we all think is going to benefit for playing under Sean McVay, but then all of a sudden your next highest charge is the dead money for Jared Goff, and it's going to come from depth. And I think last year when we were talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, they fell off a cliff at some point. And I think when we talk about the Rams and the Saints, because the Saints are swallowing a lot of cap charges for this year, I think the 17-game season is going to impact those two teams in particular.
Mike Tannenbaum on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Mike, what's your big takeaway from, you know, I was talking on First Take today. My big takeaway is Jets fans are the winners, right? Because this organization, which you're just saying, okay, go ahead, shoot yourself in the foot, Jets. Stick with Sam Darnold, be stubborn, you know, and maybe it'll work out. Instead of that, it looks like they're targeting Zach Wilson. If they trade Sam Darnold, you and I were talking maybe a second-round pick. It was probably realistic, if not a late first-rounder. They're going to have, if that happens, 4 firsts, 3 seconds, and 3 thirds in the next 2 drafts to build around a quarterback whose tape screams great player at you in terms of his talent. I think they're the Jets fans are the big winners of this deadline. But we're also hearing the Niners really like Mac Jones, and you and I were talking about this the other day, and you know how similar he is to Matt Ryan in certain respects. What does this mean for the Eagles? They're building around Jalen Hurts. What about Justin Fields? Where does he go? What is your big takeaway from the huge trades on Friday?
Very similar, but here's what's the most fascinating part, Max, and you brought this up the other day, and I think it really bears repeating. There's a massive difference when the Jets look at Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold, because the Jets could have said, you know what, we're going to do the trade with the 49ers. So if you're the 49ers, you'd rather give up the same assets and get to 2 instead of to 3. So you could have been there with Sam Darnold, the 12th pick, a 1-3 in 2022, and a 1-2023. And they said, you know what, we don't want all that. We'd rather have Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
And I happen to agree with it, because I think the upside and the ceiling for Zach Wilson is dramatically higher than Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold has a chance to be a good quarterback, a Kirk Cousins type, a quarterback that could get you into the playoffs. I think Zach Wilson is a quarterback, Max, you can win championships with.
He looks like a game changer to me. And he's taller than I realized, 6'3". I mean, I was thinking of him, he's kind of like a smaller Aaron Rodgers. Nah, he's a little taller than Aaron Rodgers, actually. But he has that same kind of maneuverability. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, those guys are that player at the highest level we've ever seen. But Zach, listen, we saw Justin Herbert come out last year and with his arm talent, like, oh my God. Zach Wilson, to my eye, Mike, looks like Justin Herbert kind of arm talent, but with more mobility and kind of off-platform type stuff. Is that right? Was that what you see?
Yeah. Yeah. One other interesting thing, Zach Wilson weighs more than Trevor Lawrence by like 8 pounds, which
wow.
is really stunning, because, you know, Trevor Lawrence is taller. It just shows you that, you know, Zach Wilson's put together better than people realize. And I went to see him in person in his bowl game, because I always like to see them in person. And Zach Wilson, to me, could have a frame about 220, 222 when he fills out. And Herbert is a little bit of a bigger, sturdier, more rugged guy. But Zach Wilson, athletically, he's a point guard playing the quarterback position with a rifle. And what's really interesting, Max, is Zach Wilson's accuracy down the field is really unparalleled for this draft class.
Talking to Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, on the Goodyear Hotline. You know, all I can tell you is this. As a Giants fan, I'm jealous. Like, you know, listen, Daniel Jones may turn out to be a good quarterback. He's not yet, but maybe he'll turn out to be a good one. That's not out of the question, certainly. And the Giants look kind of loaded this year. I'd rather be a Jets fan right now in terms of, you know, forecasting what's going to happen, because very rarely do you see a guy with Zach Wilson's jump off the screen at you talent. And the Jets are going to land him and have a slew of draft picks to build around him. Meantime, I heard Steve Young talking about this, Mike, and I think that's exactly right. Shanahan's about to make the kind of, in a way, it's funny because he has a decorated career already, but maybe a career-defining decision, getting to pick his quarterback on a loaded team. And I've heard a lot of speculation that that will be Mac Jones. What do you think of Steve Young's analysis that this is sort of career-defining for Shanahan? And will it be Mac Jones, do you think?
And Max, to take it a step further, like, because of what they gave up, I think we could eliminate Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance, if we were building a franchise for the next 10 years and this year we didn't really care how we did, Trey Lance would be part of this discussion. But there is no way that Kyle Shanahan could give up 2 first-round picks in the future and a third to go draft Trey Lance. It's way too much of a risk. And that's why I do think it's Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones, like
wow.
we said the other day, he's Matt Ryan. He processes information well. He's good under center. He's really a better athlete than people realize. He has really good athleticism in and around the pocket. He can run the boots and the waggles that Kyle Shanahan likes to run. And there is no doubt in my mind that's the quarterback. And if we need any more proof, tomorrow, Max, there's two Burrow days. Mac Jones in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Justin Fields in Columbus, Ohio, and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan will be in Alabama.
Tells you everything you need to know. The great Mike Tannenbaum, who tells you the things that everything you need to know. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, thanks a million as always. Look forward to talking to you soon. And
great.
Thanks, Mike. And when I say forwarding, I mean forward. That's how I say it sometimes when I forget how to speak English, which is my first language, believe it or not. Helping you discover the road ahead, Goodyear, more driven. Coming up, who is the MVP of the NBA? James Harden has his answer. I'll tell you mine next. It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year. You're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ALA, Brooklyn ain't the only team adding free agents. Boy, what, first of all, what is going on in L.A. basketball? The Bruins, okay, that's a huge upset, but SC too? How do you feel about that, UCLA fans? You know, like, you want the Bruins, you want SC to stay in, you want the Trojans to stay in their lane? You know, it's like Lakers fans when the Clippers start coming up in the world. We don't like it, do we? But Bruins fans, Trojans coming up in the basketball world. You happy that L.A. is a powerhouse for basketball? Or are you like, I'm not so crazy about this? What a win by UCLA, by the way, last night. The fact that Alabama, you hit a shot from whatever, 28th, whatever it was, to tie the game and send it into overtime. The higher-seeded team does that. It just feels inevitable, like they're going to win. For college kids to steady the ship and come out the way they did in overtime and win that game was huge. Anyway, Lakers getting Andre Drummond. We're going to get your calls. It's the Max Kellerman Show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Before I get to the Andre Drummond stuff, listen to James Harden weighing in on the NBA MVP.
Do you think that your game has grown even more since your last MVP season? And do you feel like you belong in those conversations again this year?
Well, I feel like I belong in it. I feel like I am the MVP. I mean, it's just that simple.
I can't blame Harden at all for saying that, because if I were Harden, I would think the same thing. Harden is playing the best basketball he's ever played in his life. I don't care what he did in Houston. This is different. He is playing he's like LeBron James, but he shoots better. Not as big and as athletic, but he's been unbelievable this season. Still, so is Damian Lillard, who's carried the Portland Trailblazers without McCollum, without Nurkic, averaging 30 points a game, 7-8 assists. I mean, Harden's the best player in the league this year when on the court, in the regular season at least. But he missed a good chunk of the early regular season with the Nets. And you could say, well, yeah, but look what happened to the Rockets when he left, and look what he's been doing with the Nets. That's true. But with Lillard, you just point, yeah, but look at the Blazers. They've been in it the whole way, and he has absolutely been carrying them. And then Jokic also in Denver. Nets sign LaMarcus Aldridge. Lakers sign Andre Drummond. I think Drummond is the bigger addition here, because, and by the way, we're getting 17 NFL games. You like that? You want that as a fan? We're going to get into that in about 10 minutes. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. So the Andre Drummond thing, here's the thing. If you have the chance in the NBA to get two MVP caliber players and have a very thin roster otherwise, of course you do it every time. In the NBA, you never want to break a dollar into four quarters. But but you always want to make four quarters a dollar. The dollars are hard to come by. And when the Lakers traded Shaq, and they got by this piece and that piece and Odom and this one and that one, no. You gave up Shaq. You lose that deal. Whoever gets the best player in the deal wins the trade, almost always in the NBA. So the Lakers had a chance to get LeBron James. Of course you do it. And then trade everything for Anthony Davis. Of course you do it. But they have a thin roster as a result otherwise. And let me tell you something. When the danger is when those two guys, AD is injury prone. He's a giant. He's almost 7 feet tall. That's what happens. And he's not, you know, a wide body. More slightly built. And LeBron James has been playing for a million years and he's old. There's an injury risk. And then what are you going to do? Well, Schroeder as your best player is not, and then Montrezl Harrell. You're not going to win many games like that. And they're going to be out for like, what, another month? 15 games? What's it going to be? 12, 15 games? You need to get some scoring and rebounding from somewhere. Well, Andre Drummond will walk onto that team and right away he should be averaging, given the composition of the players of this team, 20 points and 15 boards a game. You know, and holding it down so they're not losing quite as much until LeBron and AD get back. And once they do, you can play AD at the four and Drummond at the five and play some twin towers with LeBron, 6'8", 6'11", 6'11", right, in your front court. Or AD can play some at the four, some at the five to fill up his minutes, and then you can fill up the minutes he hasn't taken with Andre Drummond, who's a pretty high level of player to get. You know, when you add Montrezl Harrell into the mix, the issue with the Lakers is forget about exactly what everyone's job is. Like, well, you want to like after the waiver, after the trade deadline, forget about need for a second. The Lakers had, other than LeBron and AD, one starting caliber player, that's Schroeder. And he's not an all-star, he's a starter. Montrezl Harrell is an excellent bench player and almost maybe a starter. KCP is a good guy off your bench. Kuzma's a bench player. Caruso's a bench player. THT has a chance to be a good starter one day, but that day is not today. He's very young. So what you have is five guys on that team. Five guys, six guys maybe. Who can be in the rotation of a championship team, but not starting caliber? Only one starting caliber player. Well, in the Western Conference, you're going to get killed. So think about it like this. In Andre Drummond, unlike the Nets with LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, those guys aren't starting caliber players, really. Andre Drummond's a starting caliber player. And not just starting caliber, he's an above average starting caliber player for his position. Well, that's what you just added. Now look at the roster when not only holding it down now, when LeBron and AD come back, you have two MVP caliber players. In Drummond and Schroeder, you have two starting caliber players. In Montrezl Harrell, you have a top flight guy off your bench. And in KCP, Kuzma, and THT, and Caruso, you have real rotation pieces. It's a different team. Frank Vogel on the addition of Andre Drummond.
We're thrilled. We're all thrilled that Andre Drummond, a player of his caliber, to our team. He's one of the best centers in the league. Someone that every defensive coordinator is going to have to account for and to figure out how to you know handle him while they're trying to slow down AD and Bron and our guards. And you know, I think he's going to give us a big lift in the immediate future.
I agree, but Brian Windhorst doesn't listen to Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, of course, on game night.
Yeah, I don't know how much he'll play when they're fully whole in intense moments, because I believe that the Lakers are at their best when Anthony Davis plays center. But he's so fragile with injuries that you don't want to play him a lot there. And so the Lakers haven't invested a lot in their center position over the last couple of years because they know they sort of have that trump card they can go to. So in the interim, Andre Drummond is one of the best rebounders of the last 25 years in the NBA. The guy rebounds at an all-time elite level. And so you will see that definitely make an impact. And he can score. You know, and the Lakers at times, especially without AD and LeBron, I mean, they have difficulty putting the ball in the basket. So short-term, getting a guy with that kind of offensive talent, I mean, it can't help to improve them. I don't think it's a game-changing move. In the grand scheme of things, because when, like I said, when they're whole, I don't think he's going to be out there when it matters. And if they're not whole, it's not going to matter.
Who are you going to run out? I disagree with Brian Windhorst here. Windy makes a lot of good points, but why not? Why wouldn't they? Like, he can't play the five and AD plays the four? Or if you really want to play AD at the 5, you can play Drummond like an old school power forward, maybe. The point is, you just added, you had 2 superstars, 1 starter, and a bunch of rotation pieces. You caliber, I mean. Like 5 stars, an MVP, 4 is an all-star, 3 is a starter. You didn't have, you had, other than AD and LeBron, you had 1 other 3-star player. And everyone else is like 2.5. Drummond's more than a 3-star. He's like a 3.5-star player. He's above average. That's a big difference on this team, particularly when the Nuggets make that Aaron Gordon move at the deadline. That's the move to keep your eye on. I'm going to get into it. I know everyone wants to talk basketball. Unfortunately, I love the sound of my own voice, which you can no longer hear on the FM signal in New York because I wore a... Well, I don't know if it's because. What I can tell you is, the fact is, after a strategy meeting of how to really cater to the show to the New York market, I wore a Ban Dolan t-shirt on the air. Dare Dolan to do something on the air. And by that afternoon, I was off the FM station in New York. So make that, you draw your own inferences. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up, we've had 16 NFL games since 1978. But it sounds like that's coming to an end this season. Is a 17-game season a good idea? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Your call's coming up, too.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
How much confidence do I have in Daniel Jones? Not as much as Giants owner John Mara does. What am I even doing talking about the Giants and Daniel Jones? Not on the FM signal in New York anymore. I was. I wore a Ban Dolan t-shirt. And I dared Dolan to do something about it. I said it was on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Look at this. I showed the Ban Dolan t-shirt. I'm not an MSG, Dolan. What are you going to do about it? Literally within an hour after, no, within a few minutes after the show ended, within the hour, I was taken off of New York radio on the FM signal. And this after, maybe the day before, sat down with some executives over Zoom and we were making strategies about how to approach the New York market. So, you can draw your own inferences. How much confidence do I have in Daniel Jones? What do they care about that in L.A.? Plus, next hour, UFC champion Francis Ngannou came on First Take. Going to play some of that. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. I promise, going to get to your calls right here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Listen, hit it and quit it. Not, hey, Max, how you doing? In fact, I have to reinstate this thing. I know you may be nervous on the line. You're calling a radio show. Brendan, if someone says, what's up or how you doing, you got to drop the call. We'll get to the next call. The main thing is I want them to get to their point. You can love me, you can hate me, insult me, compliment me, forget about me, make your comment, have a question, but let's get right to the content. All right, Brendan, who do I start with here?
Let's go with Jason in Washington.
Jason in Washington, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Do you think the NFL would get less criticism of the schedule expansion if there was already 1 or 2 international teams? Kind of like in college football with whenever you play University of Hawaii, you get an extra game.
Jason, that was perfect. God bless you, Jason. Oh, that's perfect. Thank you for that call. He did it just right. See, everyone, no messing around. Got right to the point. Yeah, I think there are things you can do that would make a sense. I think that's not a bad idea to expand the schedule and make it okay. I'll give you another idea. Stephen A. and I were talking about this on the air today on First Take. If you had, I don't care if you play 20 games in a season, but no player's allowed to play more than 16 games in the regular season. Now coaches have to make choices. And you get to expand rosters. Now there are more jobs. And because there are more jobs that mean something, right? Because if you have like 3 or 4 games you got to play, then actually there are more high-paying jobs. There are things you can do to expand it, but simply to be like, hey, we just want more money and we're not going to share a bigger slice of the pie with the players right now. We're just going to keep expanding the game. Well, I mean, look, then what's to stop you go from 18, 19, 20 games? And the human body can only take so much. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Joseph in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
So the opening, you decided to talk about KD and his super duper team.
Yeah.
That you're not a fan of that, but you're a fan of the super team.
Yes.
I don't think it's more about KD than it is about Harden. Harden did what KD did, which was couldn't get past Golden State. So let me go join with
That's a very good point. And the reason, Joseph in Texas, that's a very good point. And the reason we look at it from KD's point of view is because we see the story of any team as the story of its best player. James Harden has elevated his game to the point where he is on that KD LeBron level, except he doesn't have the postseason success. They're better than him because when it matters most, he's not nearly the player they are. But at all other times, he is. So that's a really astute observation that really the story is not about what KD is doing at this point. It's what Harden did. Excellent point. Eric in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max. My question is, how come nobody has brought up the possibility of sending Sam Darnold to the Buccaneers for someone like O.J. Howard or a late draft pick and let him sit behind Tom Brady? How great would that be and then get to play for Bruce Arians? What do you think?
I think that's a strong possibility for Sam Darnold that makes a lot of sense. The question is, can he ever be a good quarterback? And I think the answer is, unless he's put in the right situation, no. But in the right situation, could he be a good quarterback? I wouldn't rule out the possibility based on what I've seen so far. So where else better to learn? Who else better to learn under? I like the way you're thinking. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. NFL likely to change to a 17-game schedule. Players aren't happy. Dan Orlovsky had an interesting idea about who the Eagles should trade for. We're going to get into that in a little bit. Meantime, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, we're going to get to all that stuff. Plus a little more. I'll talk about Daniel Jones. I can't help myself. I'm a Giants fan. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus. Back in a matter of moments.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.